Welcome to Manager Tools. No second emails. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. What should I do when someone doesn't respond to an email? Should I publicly mention that I sent an email that wasn't replied to? How can I get more responses to emails? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager.
Well, Mark, I sent an email the other day to a friend of mine asking for action or something, and he didn't respond. And it's been like 2 days, and I'm going to send him another email because that's what you do.
That's the smart thing to do. I think for a lot of people, professionals, that's their move.
Yeah, it's called insanity, right?
Yeah, I am doing the same thing and expecting different results. So look, you've sent it. You haven't gotten a reply. You need something. They haven't responded. It is easier to just send another mail.
True.
And we'll talk more about easiness in a little bit. I mean, in our minds, right, everybody not only has to check email, everyone does check email based on the number of people who complain about how much they email, how much email they have. It's like a humble brag, you know. I'm sorry, I hate email. I have so much of it.
So much to say. So popular.
So many people.
So powerful.
So powerful. It's so good. It's so good when it hits your lips, right? But of course, if the first one didn't work, why would the second one? And the answer is, if you want to get what you want, you need to change your communication media or medium. It's not that hard. And don't drop a dime on them either, as we've mentioned before in previous casts. So our guidance is really simple. This is a very direct, simple cast. And the reason I'm writing it, the reason we put it together is because I've had people tell me this so often recently, clients saying, well, I sent them the second mail. I still haven't heard. Like, what? I mean, you're smart. Why would you do that? But here's our outline. Never send a second email request. If the first one didn't get what you want, don't do it again. Okay. Follow up with a text or a phone call. And we'll actually talk about how to analyze communication media in a minute. And the real answer is to build relationships with your fellow colleagues that create reciprocity so that they trust you. And when you ask them to do something, they'll do it because they trust you and they like you. And I'll also say this, we're recording this on Saturday morning. We're in a rare exception. Both of us are at my house. The reason both of us are at my house in part is because yesterday, Mike and I's picture got taken for the Wall Street Journal because the Wall Street Journal management section and a reporter there by the name of Dalia Bazaz has interviewed us and assures us that sometime in the next couple of weeks, there will be a not insignificant article, I think, about Manager Tools, the podcast, the history, Mike and I's working together for the last 15 years and so on. So if you're a Wall Street Journal subscriber, look forward to that. And Dalia, thanks for working so hard to get the facts straight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, needless to say.
Yeah, the picture won't be anything fancy. But hopefully the article will be good. Right, yeah. Okay, so never send a second email request, right? And I thought I'd do this in the form of a series of events so that people can picture themselves doing this stuff. You know, we ask our direct for an update on a given project or a task, or maybe we're reviewing a report on a particular initiative's status. And there are a couple of tasks or issues or areas that aren't on track. And so what does a smart manager do? An effective manager is going to ask for details in those areas. We ask probably something along the lines of, hey, it says here we haven't gotten the analysis from the tech guys about the impact on their systems. What's up with that? And our direct responds with, well, I sent an email about 2 weeks ago.
Hopefully you don't hear, oh, okay, yeah, we're fine then.
As crotchety old managers of 30 years, Mike and I, the first thing we tell ourselves is hopefully we don't say, oh, we're good, right? Yeah. Hopefully we also don't say, I don't pay you to send emails. I pay you to get me at tech impact reports. Yeah. I've said that before because I'm not perfect. And
the only difference between you and me is I thought it.
Yeah, you thought it. Yeah, you are a little bit more politically correct in an appropriate way than I am. If we're smart, we might say, hey, it's unlikely a two-week-old email is going to suddenly motivate somebody. What are you going to do now? Right? That asking the direct, what are you going to do now? You haven't gotten a response. It's two weeks old.
Yes. A subtle point, I think, though, that's worth mentioning is you didn't tell them what to do. You asked them what to do. And there's a big difference.
When I was writing this cast, it amazes me that we don't have a specific cast about that important behavior of effective managers, not dictating what should be done, not even making a suggestion without first asking to teach the direct the value of thinking for themselves rather than always having their boss solve their problems. Okay, so what are you going to do now? And the direct says, well, I guess I'm going to send him another mail. Now look, if you're direct, guys, if he or she is less experienced, you may want to take advantage of the teaching opportunity there. You could say, okay, let's think about that. You send another mail today. Now look, there's no reason to believe that we'll have any different effect than the first one did. Right? Definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, right? So we could easily be back here having this same conversation 2 weeks from now, only now it will have been a month since you started activity on this task. That's got to be problematic for this project, for this initiative, whatever, relative to deadlines and dependencies, doesn't it?
Right. But you're direct, though, is not thinking about sending the same email again, right? They're going to word it a little bit differently, right?
Yeah.
It's going to, something about it will have an impact this time, right? I'll make it a little bit more forceful. I'll do something different that is now going to get their attention where the first one didn't. I'll just write a better email.
And of course, I know that everyone's listening to you. They know that's not going to work. And yet people do it. They do it all the time. And I think we probably, Mike, in the last 11 years of Manager Tools have done, we've not talked enough about the importance of managers teaching professionals. If you're a frontline manager and you have individual contributors working for you, if they're not 50 years old and therefore don't have tons of experience, if they only have 2, 3, 5, 7 years of experience, even if they're older than you, opportunities to teach, take advantage of them. And look, you don't have to be a teacher. You can use a technique we've talked about before called teach as if, teach not. But the bottom line is, if they've never behaved in a way that proves to you they know something, don't assume they know it. Because as I told somebody recently, I said, the moment you learn something, usually through a significant emotional event, you fail and then you realize the right way. The moment that happens, you tend to forget, unless it was in the last couple of days, you tend to forget when you knew that thing. That thing you now know is part of your knowledge base. And we have a bad habit of extending the history of our knowledge base all the way back to when we started being a professional. I can't tell you when I learned X, whether I learned it at 25, 30, or 35. And so I begin to think to anyone in their career, how can he not know that? Of course I know that. There's actually psychology behind this. But the bottom line is, if I learned it when I was 35, holding a 25-year-old accountable for that is not smart. And it certainly doesn't do any good for me to get angry or frustrated about it. Like, how can she not know that? I mean, everybody knows that. Well, I didn't learn it till I was 35 or 40. So maybe they're smarter than me and they should have learned it 5 years before me. But if I learned it when I was 40, holding somebody who's 25 accountable for it is kind of dumb. So look, if your direct does want to do the differently worded mail, remember that it's not going to work. Email has become commoditized. It really has, guys. Email is the medium, communication medium, that's efficient for the sender. That's why we have so much email, because people have forgotten that communication is what the listener does. More likely, it's safe to say they didn't ever know that. They didn't have never thought about communication theory. Communication is what the listener does, but email is about the efficiency of the sender and not the recipient. Okay? It's efficient for the sender, but at the expense of effectiveness, because we all get so much, because we're all talking all the time, when in fact listening is what's important, hearing is what's important, reading is what's important when it comes to communication. So if you're then going to add on top of that, that my communication requires behavior, which apparently is you don't have the authority to command, right? You can't make an email special enough that a second email will motivate action where a first one didn't, usually. There are exceptions, but generally speaking, remember our guidance is for 90% of the people 90% of the time. And if you think you've done that, if you think you're recalling right now, no, I sent an email and somebody didn't do something. So I sent another mail and I worded it differently. And actually, clearly it was the wording that did it because they actually did it. I actually had a thought like that. And so I went back and looked for a couple of the examples that came to my mind. And what was pretty clear to me was you need to think more carefully about the situations in which you think you've been able to use a second email to get what you needed, whatever that might have been. First, there's probably not more than a handful of times where it's actually worked. And yet, you've sent a lot of second emails, but your brain doesn't do good probability analysis of how effective that technique is. And those situations in which you were successful sending the second mail probably were more about your role power relative to the recipient rather than the particular wording or effectiveness of that second email.
That's right. And then you worded it more strongly and you got the results because you essentially threw your role power out there.
Yeah, exactly. And now look, if you have a more experienced direct, we started this line of reasoning with somebody who's less experienced, but you could probably be more direct with somebody who has a lot of experience. You could say, hey, look, dude, let's not send another email when the first one clearly didn't work. Let's do something different. And then again, as Mike pointed out, a question, what else could you do?
And the answer to that, there's not a whole lot of different options. You could walk over to somebody if they're in the same office, right? Yeah. Where I think in this kind of example, we're thinking of something where maybe the person is a little bit more remote from them and they're not in the cubicle right next to you. That would be clearly a point of just walking over. But
yeah, and actually we have this title, follow up with a text or phone call, but it's a little bit of a misleading headline. Follow up with a text, a phone call, or a face-to-face interaction. If one communication medium doesn't work, don't use it again. Change your medium and potentially your approach within the new medium. Email is the least urgent, least important, least motivating medium we have.
And way overused, right? It's just by the pure volume of it,
Yeah. If you send an email requesting activity and that email is mixed in because of timeliness, because that's how people organize their inboxes. Oh my gosh, craziness. But if that's what they're doing, if it's mixed in with corporate distros, tech security updates, patches to download, requests for online ratings of products they bought from Amazon or anybody else, your email requesting activity, as opposed to the cruft of email life, sinks to the level of cruft. Again, I mean, keep in mind, guys, we understand why you want to send email because it's the most efficient for you. If I were in a bad mood, I'd say, you're just lazy. And no offense, so am I, oftentimes. But it's the most efficient. It's the easiest for us, the sender. But it's least effective if what we want is what the recipient is supposed to be doing. So we try to get our direct to change his or her medium of choice towards one that's more effective to some degree, regardless of efficiency. Okay. Well, look, there's a tension here between efficiency and effectiveness. Nobody really wants to walk across the building to somebody's desk for a face-to-face, the richest, most likely to produce behavior change communication medium there is in the history of mankind. Nobody wants to do that when an email will get the job done. So it's very possible that our direct is going to be resistant to the approach based on effectiveness because, again, they're interested in efficiency. All you have to do is listen to people talk about how busy they are. Annoying. So it's self-fulfilling prophecy to say, I have to do email because I'm so busy, because I have so much email. It's actually a tautology, I think. But look, here's the key. What we've basically done is allowed people to talk about their level of workload and to see their level of workload as significant or more than is reasonable, which, by the way, is a fact of organizational life. It's not different from the way things were 20 years ago. People believe that they have too much to do, and so they take the selfish approach when it comes to communication, which is about efficiency. And here's the thing. Assuming an outcome isn't complex in terms of quality in some way, if you want to communicate, the right professional approach is to use the most efficient approach, which is also effective. And that's what everybody forgets, is the also effective part.
you don't need to choose face-to-face communications approach every single time because it is the most effective, because often email will do, and it's more efficient. But too many of us selfishly focus on the efficiency part of the guidance, of the approach guidance, the media choice guidance. They start with the most efficient approach and only grudgingly consider moving towards something that's more effective, even if it's less efficient. Okay. If you're wondering, by the way, guys, whether you're one of those people or not, if you're one of those people who tends to choose the efficiency approach rather than starting with effectiveness approach, if you're a high C and you've listened to us for a while, you know what DISC is, you know what a high C, a perfectionist is, somebody who dots their I's and cross their T's, somebody who likes email, prefers email to face-to-face, if you tend to be more analytical, more logical, if you tend to be less people-oriented, folks, you're one of those people.
Who? Me? No way.
Well, look, you naturally are, Mike.
Yes.
But you've overcome it because you are aware of the value of people. I overcame it just in part because I got a job that taught me that people were way more important than me or my, you know, blunt instrument approach to things.
You're very kind. And yes, I agree that many times I overcome my natural tendencies because I think about it, right? And as you're about it, you can change your behavior, which is the beauty of being a human being.
Yeah, exactly.
The bell rings and you don't have to celebrate.
Exactly.
No, but you say that, you're being very kind to me. Yet, I must admit, this morning I did exactly the wrong thing. I sent an email a while ago, a month or so ago. I had sent one before. I decided this morning, and this person is not taking action. And yes, indeed, this morning I sent another email. And I forwarded the original email just to remind him that I asked him before. And as soon as we started, this cast started talking about it, I was just like, oh my God, I am such a dummy. I am such a dummy. So guys, even when you know this stuff, occasionally you'll make mistakes and just laugh at yourself and then correct your mistake. It's pathetic.
When we were being interviewed by Dahlia for the journal article, she asked about how we had started. And in my head was the story. I didn't tell her the story because it wasn't relevant to the timeline she was building. But in my head, the story was, is the time when we were just starting Manator Tools. I called you. You had a desk phone. I had a desk phone. This is before cell phones ate the world.
Yeah, and for those of you who are young, if you don't know what a desk phone is, just look it up, Wikipedia.
Yeah, look at an old-time movie, and you'll hear them ring every once in a while.
These phones didn't actually have rotary dials, though.
They didn't. They were push-button. Yeah, that's a good point. And I called Mike. I actually was pretty sure he was at his desk, and I called him because I just had a great idea. And I said, I left a message. Didn't want to go through the whole idea on the voicemail. Says, dude, call me. I just had a great idea. I think I finally figured out the revenue model for Manator Tools. Really excited. And about 3 or 4 minutes later, I got an email from Mike, which says, got your voicemail. Really?
And I'm calling via email.
And I'm like, okay. So this is a classic case of Mike's a high C, I'm a high I. I prefer to use the phone, although I love email. And he prefers to email. And so he sends me back an email. And I'm not going to respond to an email. I'm certainly not going to type something out that would take me 5 times longer than it would for me to say.
Yeah, which you can put bullet points drains in your email.
Yeah, you can. Unfortunately, people don't talk in bullet points. And bullet points were invented after the human voice. And so I would then call him back. I said, dude, I just got your email. So I know you're at your desk. Pick up. And I get another email. Hey, sorry I missed you. Now, that was in the beginning, and there were moments that we had tension between us because of our selfish lack of awareness of our natural communication styles. Today, what we discover is that Mike and I work best when he calls me. He's outside of his comfort zone, but he's choosing effectiveness rather than efficiency, and I email him. And I would prefer to call. It's more efficient for me to call than it is for me to send email. But because I can get an answer right away, and I can just talk, and phones make it easy. But I send him an email, because that's what he wants. And every once in a while, just to make him smile, I put bullet points in it.
Yeah, I always appreciate it. I'm impressed, and then I chuckle, because I know it was like nails on a chalkboard for you.
Yeah, so look, guys, the key here is that most of us focus on what's easiest, what's more efficient for us, And we start from there, from the most efficient communication technique, and work our way upwards toward something that will take more work, when the whole point of this right approach mindset is to work your way backwards from the most effective technique, regardless of efficiency, until we land on the effective technique, which also happens to be more efficient than the other effective communication choices. We don't start with the easiest for us. We start with the most likely to succeed, and then work backwards from most likely to succeed to the one that is still gets the job done, but is more efficient than the one that may be most likely to succeed. And then, by the way, that's standard communication theory. It's not really rocket science, but the invention of email blew up the communication media hierarchy analysis that everyone used to do. Do we need to go? No, we could probably call. Okay. Will a call get it done? Yeah, I think a call will get it done. Okay, well then do we really need to call? Could we send them a letter? Now, all of a sudden, email's ubiquitous, and so everybody starts with email, and it just blows up the likelihood you're going to get what you want. So what this means in this scenario we're talking about is our direct needs to not send another email, thus the title of this guidance, but work her way backwards from the most intensive but likely to be more effective communication technique, and end up settling on the one that is most efficient while still getting the job done. So, Mike, you want to play the direct?
Sure.
Okay. So, I say to you at this point, hey, look, email won't work. It hasn't. We've lost a couple of weeks. What are you going to do?
I'll send him a text.
Okay. Let's think differently about this. That's just you moving next highest on the scale of comms media while still thinking about what would be easiest for you. And I know you're busy, but easy isn't the answer. Effective is the answer. And as easy as possible within the mindset of effectiveness is what works. So let's start from the top down. Do you think it would make an impact and improve your chances of getting what you want by going to see him and asking him face to face?
No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, good. So that's a choice we could make. You could go see the guy. Could you call him? Do you think that would work?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he returns my calls all the time.
So good. Calls are also on the list.
Okay.
Okay. What about a text? You mentioned it. They're more casual, but in my experience, they sometimes get responses.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I don't text him a lot. Matter of fact, I can't remember the last time I actually text him. So he'd probably be a little bit surprised by my text. So yeah, I think we'd probably have to agree that probably not. Yeah.
Okay. Good analysis. Good thinking. So right now we have two choices that we think will work: face-to-face and phone. Phone is easier, so as long as you're sure you'll get the result you want, call the guy.
That makes sense. I'll do that.
By when?
This week?
Yeah, no, today. We've already wasted 2 weeks. I'm being generous there, dude. You've already wasted 2 weeks. There's also a problem here with urgency and escalation. It doesn't just involve comms media, but that's all we're talking about today in this cast. So be thinking about when you'll escalate again relative to using a different comms media and then not getting the response you want. And as a side note, guys, that's a different podcast.
Cool. All right. Convince me.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, one thing that occurred to me, and it's in the outline, of course, which is this problem exists less and less, to a lesser degree, the better relationship you have with somebody, right?
Yeah.
I have people with great relationships. When I send them an email or text them, I get a response like immediately. So,
yeah. And email destroys that, by the way, because people tend to think of what they want. And when we were talking to Dahlia the other day in the interview, she said, you know, what do the people most want to know about? And I said, basically, they want to know how to get more results so they can get ahead in their career, and also how they can stay out of trouble. And we spent a lot of time talking about results and retention and relationships at the very core of human endeavor in modern organizations. But you think about it for a second. Would this scenario have ever happened if the person who our direct had asked for something from, if that person was a trusted colleague or a close friend?
Yeah, probably not.
No, right? So it's easy to analyze this sort of classic scenario as simply one of communication media, because that's the tactic. The fact is that communication is more a function of relationship strength than than it is of media choice. Okay? Guys, if you want to avoid your communications not getting acted upon, there's no question this guidance will help. It works. It's a tactic. It's effective. I've used it hundreds of times. But relationship building is the ultimate leverage from a strategic perspective. Strengthen your relationships with those people with whom you're going to need stuff and to whom you will need to give stuff. And you will have to use this a lot less because you'll never have to send a second mail because people who trust you will respond to your first email. And of course, we have lots of guidance on relationship.
And just to go prove to you once again what a strange guy I am, I'm thinking of this matrix in my head about the form of the communications, the media on the left-hand side, sending from the worst to the best. And then on the right, on the horizontal axis is the quality of my relationship. And I'm thinking, okay, if I have a high relationship, I'm more likely to be successful with a low, a high efficiency, less effective medium. And if my relationship is poor, then I better take the highest quality media.
There's probably going to be weighted within the cells.
Absolutely. I didn't say that. I thought that's probably just thinking that's obvious. Of course you would.
I love you, man.
All right, man.
So guys, bottom line, don't send a second email repeating a request you've already made. There's no amount of different wording that will change a result. Escalate to the media, the medium that is the most efficient one that is also effective. And build some relationships along the way, and you'll have this problem a lot less often.
Good. Folks, send me an email if you want the matrix. Just saying. Got it.
Exactly.
Thanks, dude. Enjoyed it.
You bet, partner. Anytime.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.